Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre, and we're going to start this episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. I know you could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world to me, so thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro.
What are you up, boss? Welcome to the Mac City Morning Show.
Hey everybody, Keith Simpson here from Norel Toyota. We support the Oil Barons. We've joined the drive-in movie theater. We're involved in the marathon here in Fort McMurray, and that's what makes this community such an amazing place to live.
And we are back. Big shout out to Norel Toyota. Thank you for your ongoing support. We really do appreciate it. Keith, Fad, Nimmer, all the boys and girls down at Norel. On that note, let's begin with the show. As you know, I don't introduce my guests because they can do a better job at that than myself. So, sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name's Burton. I'm one of the owners of Stratosphere Sports here in town. I have been in town for about 25 years now. That's pretty much basically it.
There we go. So, Burton, you're a legend in town. You've been here, like you said, for a very long time. But what people in this community know you for, even from back in the day, is you're the bike guy. You know everything about bikes. Without you, I don't think there's two wheels in this town that go around in a circle.
I know a little bit about bikes. Yeah. I've been doing it was at SportsWise for 15 years.
Yeah.
And then I opened up Habitual Sports and was there for 2.5 years. And then left, went on and did some other things and had an opportunity to go back into the sporting business with Stratosphere Sports 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So, just trying to have some fun with it all.
There we go. So, let's go back in time, because we've spoken many times over the years, but I have never asked you this question. When it comes to bikes, what was your first bike?
My first bike was a 20-inch foldable bike when I can remember when I was about 5 years old.
Okay.
And I broke the frame probably 2 months into having that bike.
Right, right.
Oh, and the first bike I had was a big wheel tricycle.
Okay, right on. So what color? What color was the tricycle, if you can remember?
The tricycle was red, yeah. And the foldable bike was blue.
Okay, and so when you buy bikes now, like, what's the color that you normally go with?
I don't choose on color anymore.
Oh, no, really?
No, I choose on what I think I should buy for a bike
okay.
At that time.
Secondary is color.
Yep.
So how does one go about, like, getting a tricycle when they're a kid to transitioning into making a career out of bikes? Like, how did that take place for you?
I just fell into it.
Okay.
Loved bikes, moved to Fort McMurray, got a job at SportsWise, already enjoyed bikes, bought my first real expensive mountain bike from Bob Reynolds at SportsWise. It was a Giant 8. I can't even remember. It was a Giant.
Yeah.
Hardtail. It was black and yellow in color, and just kept on going, never left.
Right.
Fort McMurray.
Yeah, just kept going.
I guess being at SportsWise, we had hockey, so played lots of hockey growing up, loved skiing, so it just fell into my lap.
That's right. So when you came up to Fort McMurray, like, how, why, where did you come from initially, and how did you hear about this community?
I came from New Brunswick. My grandfather passed away. I came out to Alberta with my mother to help move her mother up here to Fort McMurray with her son.
Okay,
so
I didn't know that.
I just passed, I sent a letter, a resume in by mail, to SportsWise, and I got hired.
Okay. That's awesome.
And I didn't even plan on staying in Fort McMurray. My truck sat at the Moncton Airport for 2 months, called up a friend, get a key cut, drive it out of the parking lot.
Right. Sent in a resume in the mail. That's hilarious. Some of our viewers aren't even going to know what that means. That's the best. I used to love when somebody would mail me in a resume back in the day.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So after you come up here, you're getting into bikes. It would have been very easy for you after all these years to probably transition into like a site-based job. But obviously that hasn't happened for you.
I just don't like the industrial site thing. I worked in a pulp and paper mill during university.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't enjoy it.
Right, right.
There's nothing rewarding about it sometimes.
Yeah, so it was just easier to stay within the bikes.
With the bikes.
So when you're talking about bikes, I think this is something, a misconception that a lot of people have. Like, there's a lot of different style bikes out there, dependent on what you're going for.
And it's getting crazier because we're coming up with new categories all the time.
Okay, like what?
The new category everybody's talking about is gravel road. It's basically a road bike. We can now ride on gravel trails and also ride on the road, so it's more adventurous for people.
Okay.
I can do that with my bike anyway.
Yeah, your BMX.
Yeah.
So it's just changing everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we have seen 26, 27 and a half wheels, 29-inch wheels. Now we got gravel road with bigger tires on them. BMX is still around. It's just revolving all the time. We've gone from front derailleurs to no front derailleurs.
Right.
So it's just getting easier for consumers to ride. Just with the pandemic, the bike industry has taken off and has made it actually horrible for people to try to find a bike.
Yeah.
We're probably not going to get out of this mess for another 2 years.
Really?
According to some dealers say they'll have inventory next year. Some say they won't.
Right.
It's wild.
Yeah, no doubt. And then the one new bike that I keep seeing around, and my older buddies, as I get older, continue to like look and try to purchase, are these electrical bikes, or like the half electrical. They're not all.
Yeah, e-bikes have made a huge dent into the public. Average age is 40 to 80 years old. People are now riding more on e-bikes. Great for commuting.
That's right.
They'll pedal up to 32K is the legal speed limit.
Yeah.
After that, they're supposed to be registered as motorized vehicles.
Yeah.
But no one's really pushing that issue. That.
Yeah. This is one that my brother actually just got. Like, he lives in Calgary.
Yeah, foldable e-bike.
Yeah.
Just take into your office. It's fantastic.
That's right. Like, he literally lives downtown Calgary. He got rid of his car years ago because he's like, I'm not driving this thing. And yeah, just over like you said, pandemic, he's just like, maybe I'll get this e-bike to get around town.
The only big issues with e-bikes is the maintenance cost. You got to replace chains and cassettes and brake pads a little bit more often.
That's right.
Just because of the use of them.
Yeah. And you're not getting the same physical activity on them sometimes.
Some people say that about the physical activity. What most people are finding, they're riding actually longer
and
farther. So okay. They're out more on them.
Really?
And cool. It's allowing people who couldn't ride up hills now ride up hills.
Mm.
So it's just creating more of an activity.
That's awesome.
So it's growing the cycling community.
Yeah. And then I was in your place a year or two ago, and I was looking at a bike for my wife, and I had to tell her. And she's like, don't get me that bike, and I won't go into the reasons she didn't want the bike. But I loved it. You had the e-bike that had the basket on the back.
Yep.
That was cool. Yep. And like things like that. When I was growing up, like, if you had a basket, it was one, like, on the front. Like, just the look of bikes in general have definitely evolved over
the e-trikes are huge for a lot of people. There's a couple up in Greg where they ride 20 to 30K every day on their e-bikes.
Yeah.
They love it.
Yeah.
Their son said it helped their life out immensely.
That's right. That's right.
So that's good to hear.
Yeah. So now when it comes to you, obviously you have all the bikes at your disposal. Is there a certain type of genre of bike that you prefer more than others?
No, I like
for your personal use.
For my own use, I like my mountain bike. Still, I like road bikes. I just like all bikes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, to say that.
Yeah.
The biggest problem we have is inventory.
That's right.
You can come in today, I don't have a bike, but 2 to 3 weeks from now, I may have a bike.
That's right.
We just don't know what the delivery dates are going to be.
Yeah.
Kona has delivered 80% of their bikes to us this year. Where Scott has delivered 25.
Right.
Rocky has finally completed their fat tire bike order for last fall.
Yeah.
And they're telling us for this fall it's going to be delayed again.
That's right.
What about parts, like if you wanted to build your own bike?
Parts are starting to come back onto the market right now. Fox suspension for the manufacturer is a 900-day PO. Seats are 700 PO days. Chains are over a year.
My goodness. So if you break your chain on your bike right now, you're pretty screwed, eh?
No. Luckily, we have lots of stock now.
Yeah.
You have gone out and made sure I had 4 or 5 different suppliers so I can have parts. Yeah. You may not get the derailleur what you want, but we'll be able to get you up and running.
Right. That's nuts.
Like, there's some brakes where they're not available until September of 24.
Right.
Like, it's crazy. It's ridiculous. Crazy. When you go look at...
Yeah.
It's the same thing as in the car market right now, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. The
transportation market must just be screwed.
That's right.
So you take the cars, like Jerry from Radio Shack was saying, they don't even get to place an order anymore for their barbecues. They just send them barbecues when they're available.
Right.
So barbecues were a big issue.
Yeah.
Hot
tub, everybody. Sauna,
everything outdoor related is right. just bonkers now.
That's
snowmobiles.
Right. Yeah.
Dealers don't know. They have to pre-sell them before they get them.
That's right.
Same
That's
as right. you were talking about Toyota.
That's right. That's right.
2 to 3 months for a vehicle to come yeah. in for a lot of people.
That's right. Sometimes even longer, depending on like if you want a hybrid or some like specific.
Yeah, so make. It's all over. It's just not bikes
That's
is
right.
the problem.
That's right.
And it's across North America, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right.
The U.S. and lots of bikes because they're U.S. companies. They're getting caught up a little bit more before Canada. We're just a lot smaller market.
That's right. That's exactly it. So. At your facility, you sell bikes, but there's other products that you guys have there that people can come and get. What are some other things they can come support you
we
with?
We have lots of paddle boards in stock.
Okay, very cool.
We buy them from a company, Mountain Culture out of Calgary. They import boards under their brand. We have about 6 or 7 different models from them in stock.
Yeah.
We also do cross-country skis, downhill skis in the wintertime. Going to add snowboards into the mix this winter.
Oh, right on. Very cool.
So we have some yoga mats and some fitness stuff in the store. We actually do Traxxas RC vehicles, which are fantastic.
What's that? I don't know what that is.
Remote control.
Oh, RV, remote control.
No, RC.
RC.
RV is those big drivable buses you
right.
can live in.
RC.
Okay. RC. I was just like, yeah. I don't know what that acronym stands for, but I know remote control stands for.
Yeah.
I just put two and two together.
Yeah. So we do Traxxas.
Typical.
Yeah.
Traxxas. Daniel Newton looks after all that stuff in the store. He's fantastic with it.
That's
if you want parts, you just text Daniel and he'll place the order for you.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Are getting parts for those cars easier?
That stuff is actually pretty easy for parts.
Yeah.
Some stuff is back ordered for a little bit, but the parts are pretty easy.
Right. That's right.
To get. And we have a huge selection of parts.
And for the people at home, where is your store located?
We're located down in the River Station. So basically, it's where the old Town Hall restaurant was with
That's
Cedars
right.
and Higher Health, but didn't come back, unfortunately, with the flood.
That's right. That's right.
But great area to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a cool spot. And especially like when you come in. Want to see your bike or test your bike. There's a good area for
you. You can jump across the road and ride on the river trail there.
That's right. That's right. Well, my man, Tanner has a segment called the Mac City Minute. He gave me the signal a while ago that he's ready, so he's going to ask you some questions. I have no idea what he's going to ask, but Tanner, hit him with the Mac City Minute.
All righty. Question number one. What is one place you would like to take a bike ride if you could ride anywhere?
My favorite place to ride is actually in Maui.
Of course it is. That place is amazing. Question number two. What is one sports trend you've enjoyed the most over the years of owning a sports store?
That is a good question. I think it's the road bikes coming back 10 or 15 years ago with the advent of the Tour of Cancer rides to fundraise. So that created a whole road bike market. And we'll see that continue with into the gravel road segment.
Question number three. If you could play one game in a professional league, what team and sport would you want to play?
Well, that's a good question. I would say probably hockey.
What team?
Oh, that's a bad question. You always have your favorite teams growing up. I can't really answer that one.
Yeah. Plead the fifth. You don't want to tick off any fans.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Question number four. If you could take the place of anyone in the world for a day, who would that be and what would you do?
I wouldn't want to take anybody else's job.
Fair enough. And your final question. If you could have any bike from any time, what would your dream bike be?
My dream bike? I actually have a couple dream bikes.
Okay.
I have a T-Mobile Giant frame. It's the only one in Canada, so that was a dream frame to get. And I also have another TRC, what is my, I call it my Lindros bike because it's 88th out of 161 for the world.
Wow. Those are cool. Those have been your five questions.
That's neat. So for the bike collector like yourself, like there's a lot of different things you can get out there that are unique and special and one of a kind. Like there's a lot of potential inventory out there depending on what your hobby takes you down.
I love, how do I put it? I like all bikes.
Right.
I'm no longer a bike collector. I've depleted my bike inventory by a lot.
Right.
I have it down to 4 or 5 now. One of the bikes I'd like to get someday is a Bianchi.
What's a Bianchi?
It's just a road bike. Okay. It's been back from the 80s. It's the Robin Egg Blue. Just always wanted to own a Bianchi. Yeah. So someday that will be my next bike.
That's awesome. I know when I was a kid, I don't like to use this word often, but it's a legitimate word that I have to use for this. I used to hate riding bikes. Like, I didn't like it at all. I was like, I was on my skateboard, I was on my scooter. I didn't like riding bikes, but it all came down years later. I found out to the style of bike that I had. So my dad bought me this very expensive bike out of Montreal. I don't know what it was called, and it was top of the line and whatever it was. But it was like a mountain bike, kind of mountain bike, half street bike. And it just wasn't comfortable to sit on. And like it was uncomfortable and it hurt my butt every time I sat on it. So fast forward years later, my kid is learning to ride a bike. And so I'm like, okay, I got to ride a bike with him. And I always wanted a BMX bike. Like when I was a kid, and I always told my dad, like, get me a BMX. And I got this BMX bike the same time Keegan got his little bike. And Burton, to say I love this bike and that I ride it often is an understatement, bro.
When you say BMX bike, there was a gentleman who came in the store, met him 20 years ago. He bought a Jake the Snake from me at Kona, cyclocross bike. And I run into him here and there, pops in, pops out.
Yeah.
And the street he came in, he bought a BMX bike.
Yeah.
He was going to go ride with some friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told me, I still have my Jake the Snake from 20 years ago. Yeah. I'm going, that must be the longest bike you have ever kept.
That's right. That's right.
So BMX comes and go. They're great for lots of people. What a wonderful city.
Yeah.
Every neighborhood has something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's grown immensely since, you came and since I was growing up here. I remember when there was the people were asking for the skate park down at the Borealis Haxton Center area.
Yeah. And we got to give Perry Pugh credit for getting that up and running.
That's right. That's right.
Original owner of Kazam in town.
Yep. And so now you go out, you have skate parks and out at the ski hill. You have 2 or 3 up in Timberley. Like there's all these different areas now where you can participate, use your bikes, use your skateboards, use your scooters. It's immense in regards to the facilities that Fort McMurray has now in 2022 versus the 80s.
You take Vista Ridge today.
Oh, yeah.
Vista Ridge was started 30-some years ago by Bob Reynolds, Bob Morrison, Dave Hill.
Yeah.
It ran for 10 years under Bruce Valley.
Yeah.
And then John Wilson came in. They got it re-going again. That's under right. Vista Ridge.
Yeah.
They added another chair lift in. They added the aerial park in.
Yeah.
The skateboard park, mini golf.
Golf course. Yeah.
What a fantastic facility.
Yeah.
And we got to give Kevin Grogan a lot of kudos for all the work that he put in here for many years.
Mr. Grogan is still there. It's funny that you use his first name. I'm an adult now, and I guess I could call him by his first name, but he was there for such a long time. Like, nah, that's just Mr. Grogan.
Yeah, 27 years now.
Yeah.
Or maybe even longer.
Yeah.
What a great man for what he has done to the community.
Definitely. And you as well, Burton. There's no doubt about that. You're a staple in the community. You keep us active. You're always there to help people out, fixing their bikes, helping them with the scooters, bringing in different outdoor activities, man. Like, you definitely are an old school Fort McMurray legend when it comes to the outdoor community, man.
No, what I'd like to see us recognize the people have done so much in this community.
Yeah.
Like you take Doug Barnes, who used to maintain the Birchwood Trails for years.
That's right.
And it's the name of the cabin.
That's right.
Those trails are fantastic.
Yeah.
We have a gem what we don't even know what we
That's
have.
That's right. That's right. Somebody told me years ago, Tanner gave me the watch tap. I just want to finish this statement because we're finished with the time, but maybe you can shed some light on this if you know this is true or not. But somebody's telling me the trail system in Fort McMurray like stretches so wide that it's something like one of the biggest groomed kind of trail systems in, I don't want to say North America, but in like Eastern Alberta or Western Alberta or something?
It probably is because there's 20 to 30K of trails in there.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you go from Timberline Drive all the way over to Stone Creek.
That's right.
And then you, on all the trails that the city has put into all the neighborhoods, like,
that's right.
We're very well connected.
Yeah. And some of the trails I didn't know about. Growing up, I grew up in Dickensfield. So, like, I know about the Birchwood Trails very well and Timberley and all that kind of stuff. But when I was older, I moved to Beacon Hill. Yeah. And, geez, did I find a whole new world. I had no idea that there was trails there. It's crazy.
Yeah, people should just go explore their outside their neighborhoods. They'll be shocked what they can find in Fort McMurray. Yeah,
it's true. Facts. Well, my man, we are out of time, which is a sin, but I do want to invite you back again and again and again. I could talk to you for hours, but before I cut you loose, everybody gets a shameless shout-out or plug, so you have the mic, the camera, the lights.
I would like to say thank you to the community for your support over the years.
There you go.
You guys have been great to us.
Awesome. Thanks, my man. Well, everybody at home watching today or listening, I want to give you a big shout-out from the bottom of my heart. It means the world to me, so thank you for tuning in. Got a shout-out Noral Toyota for their ongoing support. Thank you. We do appreciate that. And other from that, I hope everybody at home is having a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow. Peace.
What a deadly old way to end another morning show. Later, boss.
It's so ballistic!
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst. Really?